Today we begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Remember that 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is in the longest section in the Bible on the subject of spiritual gifts. Gifts like speaking in tongues and prophesying and healing and all these other miraculous abilities that God gave in the early church. Paul talked about these gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He listed them and talked about how that they all work together in the same body, that is, the body or the church of Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he reminded these people that love is the more excellent way, that all these miraculous gifts mean nothing if the people that use them don't have love. And he also reminded them in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that these miraculous gifts would come to an end when the New Testament was completed. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 then, we have Paul's teaching about the use of these spiritual gifts in the church. Now there's several words that you'll want to notice in particular in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First of all, you need to bear in mind the word church. And the word church in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 does not refer to a church building. It refers to the congregational worship assembly. When, as he says, the whole church comes together into one place to worship God. So notice first of all the word church, because he's talking about the use, the exercise of these gifts in the church worship assembly. The second word that you need to notice, of course, is the word tongue or tongues. Because in the Bible, when you find the word tongue, oftentimes it refers to a language that is being spoken, a dialect or a language. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the word tongue or tongues refers to languages that were spoken by men, languages that were already in use, that people grew up speaking and that they used in their lives. That's very important to remember. The third word that you need to remember, and it would be a good exercise just to go through the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and look at how many times you find this word, is the word edify or the word edification. The word edify means to build up or to strengthen. And so the idea in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is that these spiritual gifts, these miraculous abilities, were given to the early church for a purpose. There were actually, of course, several purposes. But the purpose that he's going to talk about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in regard to these Christians in the church is the purpose of edifying the body of Christ. Now, miracles in the first century, as I said, served several purposes. The main purpose of miracles was to confirm the word, to prove that the gospel that was preached was in fact from God, and to prove that these men who were speaking by revelation were actually speaking from God. That was the primary reason or the primary purpose of these miracles in regard to people that were not believers at the time. The Word of God was confirmed by these miracles in the presence of people that were not Christians and who had not obeyed the gospel yet. But in regard to the church, these miracles were not given primarily. They were not exercised primarily in the church to Christians to convince them, because they already believed. They already believed that these prophets and tongue speakers were speaking on the behalf of God. The primary reason for miracles in regard to Christians, in regard to the church, was to edify the Christians. It was to build up the church. And that's why we find so much said about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And that's why Paul is writing to these people to straighten out a problem. This is very important to remember as you read through 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And that is that these Corinthian Christians were abusing these spiritual gifts. They were causing confusion in the worship service. They were abusing these spiritual gifts by speaking at the same time that somebody else was speaking and trying to exalt themselves and basically show out in the worship services. And so Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, talks to these Christians about the real purpose of these gifts as far as Christians were concerned and as far as the worship assembly was concerned. And he points out to them that these gifts need to be used in an orderly way. And so he sets up some rules. He sets up a procedure as to how they were to be used in the first century church. So let's begin with those thoughts in mind in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Paul said, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy." He's already talked about love being the more excellent way, and he said it's good to desire these spiritual gifts. There's nothing wrong with them. These miraculous abilities were good and beneficial as long as the people who had these gifts used them rightly. And of course, that was the issue here. So Paul says to follow after love, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Now the word rather here has the idea of especially. So Paul is saying to desire spiritual gifts in general, but especially the gift of prophecy. Now why would Paul say that? We're going to see the answer to that as we read through this section. In verse 2 he says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." In verse 2, we have a matter in the King James Version that does need to be noticed and it does need to be explained, because perhaps this has contributed to some of the confusion and misunderstanding that is in the religious world to this day about the subject of speaking in tongues. Paul said, "He that speaks in an unknown tongue." In the King James Version, you'll notice that the word unknown is in italics. Why is that word italicized? Because the word for unknown is not in the original. It is not in the Greek. The translators put that word in there, and at least they did indicate that they had supplied the word because they felt that it was good and perhaps even necessary for us to understand what the verse meant. And so they're helping us out in their minds by putting the word unknown in there. But actually, in the original, in the Greek, it simply says, "For he that speaks in a tongue." A tongue is a language that people spoke in that day and age. Remember that the Bible explanation of speaking in tongues is found in Acts chapter 2. Because in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says that the apostles began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Bible then says in Acts 2, verse 6, that the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. So speaking in tongues with other tongues, that is, in other languages, languages other than the one that they grew up speaking or the ones that they knew, means speaking in languages that the people heard and understood. So speaking in tongues was speaking in every man's own language. And he's referring, of course, to the people that assembled together on Pentecost Day in Acts chapter 2. There were people that spoke many different languages that had assembled on Pentecost Day in Acts 2. And so as Peter and these other apostles began to preach, they needed to speak in several different languages. Well, Peter was an uneducated man, and so was John. The Bible says that in Acts 4, verse 13. They spoke their language, and perhaps they spoke another language, but they could not speak in all the languages of these people. That's where this miraculous ability that God gave them came in, because God enabled them to preach in languages that they never had studied before, and they were able to do that instantly. Now, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we might ask the question, why did the King James Version translators put the word unknown in verse 2 and also in other verses in this chapter? It's because in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in many of these verses, speaking in a tongue or speaking in a language refers to these Corinthians speaking in these languages, but the people did not understand what they were saying. And so to the people, at least some of the people in the worship assembly, those languages were unknown to them, and in that sense, they were unknown tongues. You see, it's not that these tongues or languages were unknown to everybody. It's that they were unknown to certain people in that worship assembly. And what Paul is saying throughout this chapter is very simple. Paul is saying that if you're preaching the gospel, and you're preaching the gospel in a language that people don't understand, you're not helping them. They're not being benefited. They're not being edified. You can't get anything out of a sermon if you don't understand the language in which it's being spoken. Now remember this, that the tongue speakers spoke the same gospel, they preached the same message, they taught the same doctrine as the prophets did. So the tongue speakers are preaching the gospel, so are the prophets, so are the people with the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and so forth. The difference is the tongue speakers spoke in other languages and the prophets spoke just in that one language in which they were speaking. So Paul says that a man who is speaking in an unknown tongue, that is, a man who is speaking in a language that at least some there present in the worship assembly don't understand, doesn't speak to men because they can't understand him. He's speaking to God. And he emphasizes this by saying, "For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." Now notice, in verse 3, he contrasts this by saying, "But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification." When people heard a prophet preach, and preach in their language, of course, then they understood him and they were built up or edified. He speaks to men to edification and exhortation. They got the word, they got the message, they understood the exhortation and they were affected by it. They were comforted, he said, because they understood the message. And again, if you don't understand what a man is saying, you can't be edified, you can't be exhorted, and you cannot be comforted. Notice what he says in verses 4 and 5. He that speaks in an unknown tongue, that is, he's preaching, he's teaching in the worship assembly in a language that the people don't understand. He says he's edifying himself, but he that prophesies and prophesies in a language that those people can understand, he edifies the church. There's the difference. Paul said in verse 5, "I would," that is, "I wish that you all spoke with tongues." But more than that, he says, "rather that you prophesied." Now, why would Paul say that? Why would Paul say, "I wish that all of you spoke with tongues, but I wish even more that all of you prophesied"? Well, his answer clears up something for us here, and it may have been a surprise to some of those tongue speakers at Corinth. Here it is. In verse 5, he says, "For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues." The prophets were greater than the tongue speakers. Why? Because he's talking about tongue speakers that did not translate, that did not have somebody to interpret for them, and so people didn't understand them. So the prophets were greater because they edified the church. Now he says, of course, the exception is if he interprets, then the church may receive edifying. And as we continue to read through this chapter, we're going to find that there is a great deal of difference between what the Bible teaches about speaking in tongues and people's idea about this subject today.